The Lakers-Raptors thing is kind of heating up a little bit here, Sam. I mean, obviously, nothing's imminent, but Pau Gasol's name is out there. The names that are being rumored going the other way, Bargnani maybe, Calderon maybe. If you're the Lakers, is this worth your while?
Guys, if I'm the Lakers, I'd do that deal in a heartbeat. Think about it. If you can get Jose Calderon and Andrea Bargnani and give up Pau Gasol, first of all, Pau Gasol don't fit in what the Lakers are trying to do. Second of all, you're getting a quality backup point guard and Jose Calderon, who can run that pick-and-roll offense that Steve Nash, who's 38, 39 years old, is going to be asked to do. So your point guard position is solidified because neither one of them are great defenders, but they can run the offense that D'Antoni wants. Also, Andrea, whether he's making shots or not, he's known as a three-point shooter. He's a seven-foot guy that can stretch the court, create spacing, and allow that pick-and-roll to develop. So if you're the Lakers, it's a no-brainer of a deal. The question on the Raptors side is, what do you do with Pau Gasol? I mean, Pau Gasol, the last 3 years, numbers are declining. And when I started hearing things like, put your big boy pants on, you know, how many times has Kobe Bryant called Pau Gasol out in the last 2 years?
Yeah.
So my question for Pau Gasol is, do you still have a passion to play? Everybody talks about how good Pau Gasol is, and he is. But Pau Gasol hadn't played up to a $19 million contract the last two seasons, and he's not doing it thus far. And every year, it seems like he's asking questions. Where do I fit in? Well, where do I get the ball? I mean, maybe a change of scenery will help him. Maybe knowing that he's the man will light that fire and ignite him. I don't know. But, you know, I like to see more for Pau Gasol because at the end of the day, you're giving up a young player in Andrea, and you're giving up a proven player in Jose.
Let me ask you a question because we had the discussion in the last block. Is Jose Calderon underappreciated?
Absolutely. Absolutely, guys. I mean, look, maybe I'm biased when it comes to Jose, but I would not have won Coach of the Year without Jose Calderon. I mean, This young man, I was able to turn the offense over to him, and he was able to produce in a way that he hadn't played at that level yet. Now, I think he's underappreciated. He's a leader. Players love playing with him. Does he have some deficiencies? Yes. Most players in the league do. But when I look at what Jose brings to the table, man, I'm telling you, there's no greater teammate. Guys, when T.J. Ford got hurt and Jose stepped in and we went on that run, when T.J. came back and was struggling with coming off the bench, Jose Calderon came in my office, knocked on the door and said, Coach, if you need me to come off the bench, if it's going to make us a better team, if it's going to help T.J. Ford play better, then I'll go back to coming off the bench. I wouldn't allow him to do it because I felt like it was his time and we were a better basketball team with him starting. But Jose Calderon offered to come off the bench. That's the kind of player that he is. He's all about the team.
Tim Mitchell here on Tim and Sid Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I think, Sam, in general, most people can see that, although the anecdote's fantastic. But Jose just doesn't seem like a selfish guy. No. I think most people in this market would agree with that. Here's my concern with that deal, potential deal, from the Lakers' perspective. The intensity of that situation right now is light years from where this Raptors franchise is and has been for the last two, three seasons. And I am openly wondering how guys like Bargnani and Jose will perform in a win or else environment.
I agree, but think about it. If you're the Lakers, it's a win-win. If they don't do well, you got Andrea with, you know, 3-4 years left at a number that you can live with. Jose's at the end of his contract, so you got $11 million come off your book. And you don't look, Pau Gasol don't have a place on your team right now anyway. So at the end of the day, you'll get a former number one pick at a number with years left on his contract that you can live with. You just lose $8 million coming off when Jose goes away. You don't have a fit for Pau Gasol right now anyway. So if you're the Lakers, it's a no-brainer deal. But to me, the risk is Toronto. If they do this deal, is Pau Gasol, one, going to play up to the level of $19 million left on his contract this year, next year? And you would assume the Toronto Raptors are going to have to extend him because you can't trade Jose Calderon, Andrea Bargnani and not have that player on your team for at least two or three more years. Certainly a no-brainer. If I'm the Lakers, it's a no-brainer deal. I do the deal with my eyes closed.
That's interesting to hear, and you're right about the Gasol, but why would you extend a guy at 34 years old unless he's going to find some sort of fountain of youth that we haven't seen for the past 2 years?
He's not even the best Gasol in the NBA right now.
Yeah.
Okay, and I agree with that. So if you're the Raptors and you're willing to say, okay, we got him for this year and next year, and we may not want him after that, and we're, you know, we clear $19 million after the cap,
right?
That's fine. But remember, guys, you're talking about players. Wayne Emery used to say this all the time. You know, everybody talking about let's go into the draft. Look at the draft. Look at the best players out there right now. Look at all these top picks. Hell, the guy playing in New Orleans right now is hurt. These guys, these freshman guys are not ready for the rigors of the NBA. So it takes these guys 2-3 years to develop. There is no Derrick Rose. There is no Kevin Garnett. There is no LeBron James in this next year draft. So when you start hanging your hopes on the draft, then that's kind of scary. Now, you better start developing the players that you have and getting them better and start trying to win games that way, because the draft is a crapshoot. If you're sitting around waiting on the lottery, what happens when you get the second pick like Charlotte and you don't get Anthony Davis? Right. And you're stuck with the second pick and there are five guys that you can choose from.
Yeah, the only thing that I can see that would be good is maybe a $19 million expiring contract next year as a chip to either trade or just have come off your books, and then you can spend it in free agency.
And if you're going to do that, guys, that's not a bad thing. But if you're going to do that, again, you're the Raptors. What are you saying? Yeah. We're rebuilding again.
Again.
You know, we're again.
Again.
And so at some point, you know, how long are you going to keep selling rebuilding?
Yeah. Truth.
With playoffs that you don't even know who you're going to get. Yeah, it's nice to know the rebuild, but there's no guarantee that you're going to get the number one or number two pick.
Yeah, and no guarantee.
What if you get the seventh pick, the eighth pick? Now you're screwed, because the seventh and eighth pick could be one of 10 guys.
Well, if it's seventh this year, they got to give it to Oklahoma City anyway.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's only top three protected. It's just, you're right. Leaning on the draft consistently is telling.
Sam Mitchell joining us.
It's a hard way to live, dude.
Sam Mitchell joining us here at Tim and Sid. Last time you were on, you told me to watch out for the New York Knickerbockers. You told me the New York Knickerbockers just might be real. So far, so good on that call. What the hell happened last night in Miami that made them look 112-92 in Miami without Carmelo?
Depth. Guys, think about something. When Amar'e Stoudemire comes back, look at your second unit in New York. You're going to have Rasheed Wallace at center. You're going to have Amar'e Stoudemire at the four. You're going to have Novak at the three. J.R. Smith at the two. And then you're going to have either Felton or Jason Kidd running that second unit at the point guard position. How many teams right now, excluding the Brooklyn Nets, the Boston Celtics, and the Miami Heat, in the Eastern Conference would take those five guys as their starter? Right now, those five guys can beat everybody from the fourth spot on down in the Eastern Conference. Would you not agree?
I like Indiana starting five.
Okay, well, but again, that makes but that five guys can get into the playoffs. So look at your second unit. The Knicks are for real, guys. They play their best defending team in the NBA. They're the best three-point shooting team. And this is what's crazy. Mike Woodson has become Mike D'Antoni from this regard. Look at his offense. He don't have a low-post game. His low-post score is Carmelo Anthony. So without Carmelo Anthony in the lineup, he went to picking and rolling, driving and penetration and kick, shooting threes. New York has shot 85 three-point shots in the last two games.
Yeah.
I give Mike Woodson right now the coach of the year early. Because Mike Woodson is coaching the team that he's had, not coaching the team that he wished for. He's doing an excellent job. The Knicks are for real. And right now, I'm telling you, when you look at the bench, Miami don't have a bench that can compare with New York. Right now, New York is the best team in the East, bar none.
But Miami didn't have much of a bench last year.
Well, guys, this is the problem. So that means Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron can't have an off game. So Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh didn't have a good game. They got beat by 20. There's no one else on that team to pick up the slack.
Yep.
Think about this.
Yep.
Carmelo Anthony and Amar'e Stoudemire didn't play. Novak, J.R. Smith, Rasheed Wallace, all those guys came in and picked up the slack. And we haven't even mentioned Iman Shumpert at 6'6" point guard, who's one of the better young defenders in the league when he comes
back.
He's
real.
So think about something, guys. I mean, think about it. The Knicks star players can have an off night and they can win. But without Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, Miami can't win.
Mm-hmm. With an the only thing that I will point to that pokes a hole in this is that their average age is 32 years old, and whether or not it's sustainable.
But think about something.
Uh-huh.
Think about this now.
They got depth.
They got depth. And look who didn't play. We're not even talking about, what's the 6'11 guy? I can't remember his name. Shot blocker. Who
that is? Tyson Chandler. Chandler.
Not Tyson
Camby.
Chandler. Coming off the Marcus Camby. He's not even playing.
Yeah.
So, again, when you spread the minutes around among the older guys, you limit practice, which your guys don't practice because they know how to play. Think about how they're going to get too old. All they're doing is playing a game.
Yeah.
And they're not playing 40 minutes a game. They're playing 24.
And no doubt Woodson is doing a fantastic job with those guys. And I agree with that. I think Sid agrees with you. Early candidate, Coach of the Year. Look no further.